This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Scored Sports Podcast. On the Osis Podcast, Lane Frank, we're now in episode 155. It's for 155 episodes through, and I got action-packed episode planned for you. The Super Bowl is set. 49ers versus Chiefs. Yannick Sinner has won the Australian Open. We got a lot of great stuff going on in the NBA. Stay tuned for action-packed episode 155. Let's hop into it. Let's start off episode 155, how we always do, with the headlines in the NBA. A lot of great performances happened in the NBA this week. Well, let's start. Joel Embiid, 70 points on Monday night. Karl-Anthony Towns, 62 points on Monday night. Then you look over to Friday night. Luka Doncic drops 73, the most since Kobe Bryant's 81 points. I think the third most points in NBA history. Let's go, Luka. Devin Booker, great game too, dropped 62. Second most of his career. He's saying, whoa, I just had the best performance of the night. I'm going to get so much recognition. No, Luka dropped 73, his arch rival, Luka Doncic. But great game for both those all-stars, both those stars in this league, Booker and Luka. What a great performance we had this week from all these guys across the league. Now, some teams that aren't performing pretty well, Los Angeles Lakers. What a horrible game they played against Houston Rockets. What a horrible stretch of games they're in right now. It doesn't seem like anything is working. Nothing's really working at all. They got rid of Russell Westbrook last season, and Russell Westbrook has played every single game so far with the Clippers and has been a key part of that team. We thought things were going to look up for this team after they made that trade, and they haven't. We thought things were going to look up for this team after they won the in-season tournament, and they hit the biggest hangover, biggest cliff fall off of all time. So what's going to happen with the Los Angeles Lakers? Does LeBron want out? I don't know what's going to happen with this team. My New York Knicks are balling out right now. Saw a report, saw a power ranking this week that my New York Knicks at number one. Now, I'm not that crazy, but my New York Knicks are number one in the power rankings, but New York Knicks playing great. Look for them in my top five NBA teams coming up. Doc Rivers is officially taking over as Milwaukee Bucks head coach. He says, I wouldn't wish this on anybody. You took the job, Doc Rivers. You took the job. You're taking over a championship caliber team. You're trying to win a championship. Let's see how that goes. Wes Unseld Jr. out as Washington Wizards head coach. He'll move into an advisory role. A little interesting thing right there. Let's move to the NFL. Chiefs Niners. What a great Super Bowl. That's going to be rematch Super Bowl 54, that 2020 Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes gets his first ring there. Kyle Shanahan comes short in his second Super Bowl, one with the Atlanta Falcons as their offense coordinator. Second time with the San Francisco 49ers as their head coach. Will he get it done this time? You're going to have to wait to see my pick until next week when we pick the Super Bowl. We got the Pro Bowl this week, which I don't even think is a thing anymore. Pro Bowl games, kind of just accolade now to say, hey, I'm a Pro Bowler who, I mean, really nobody cares anymore because Pro Bowl can be anything. Somebody's going to drop out. I mean, Tyler Huntley was a Pro Bowler last year, and Tyler Huntley, I don't even think, had five touchdowns in the season. Just goes to show that the Pro Bowl is a joke, everybody. So we're not going to talk about the Pro Bowl at all this episode. I've tried to do it in the years past. There's nothing to talk about. There's no way to fix it. It's not interesting. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's bad for the news in the NFL. Tennis world, Yannick Sinner beat Novak Djokovic in the semifinal, then beat Daniil Medvedev in the final. Our Australian Open champion, first Grand Slam for Yannick Sinner. Great stuff right there. Leave thoughts in the comments. That's about for the headlines this week. Now, I've talked about the winners of Conference Championship Sunday already. Kansas City Chiefs, San Francisco 49ers. Let's talk about one of the losers right now. I'll talk about Lamar Jackson, the Ravens later on. Right now, I want to talk about Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. Now, Dan Campbell is getting hate all week, all day, for what happened in that game. Rightfully so. But let's not forget that they're not in this position without Dan Campbell. Not at all. Dan Campbell has been aggressive all season. It's pretty much worked all season. Now sometimes come back to bite him, but relatively it's worked all season, except for maybe that Dallas Cowboys game, went for two from the 7-yard line. Made no sense. But still, aggressive is Dan Campbell's game. He's not going to shy away from it, which you like to see, I'd say, as a Detroit Lions fan. A lot of time in any sports, you could see, well, basketball player has 30 points, but now the last shot of the game's coming up. He's not going to want to take it. Quarterback been playing great all game. Kicker made all his kicks all season. Nine misses in the playoffs. See it all the time. Tennis, guy's been playing great all match. Gets into the last point of the match, last few points, afraid to hit the ball, afraid to move. It can be in any sport, but for Dan Campbell to not tense up, to not freak out, and to switch his strategy, I admire that right there because he sticks with what works. But sometimes, you don't always have to stick with what works if it's going to come back and bite you. Let me say this right here. Dan Campbell, you're up 14 points in the conference championship game. Whoo! That's great. You're rolling. You had a bigger lead earlier, and now you're rolling. Kick the field goal. Go up three possessions, because what's different from a three-possession game and a two-possession game can be the whole world. What's different from a 21-point game, if you got that touchdown on that drive, and a 17-point game, isn't that monumental. But a 17-point lead and a 14-point lead, to me, is colossal, because that takes you three possessions now. Then the doubt creeps in for the 49ers. Then you think, oh, man, okay, get these two touchdowns, then we got to do this, then we got to do this. It's a lot more planning than just touchdown, stop, touchdown. You got to think, okay, we got to get a touchdown. Okay, we got to get a stop. We got to get a touchdown. And then we got to do it again. It's a lot more complicated. So for Dan Campbell, to not kick that field goal to go up 17, as an NFL fan, I'll always hate you for that. But Dan Campbell, still a great season. Lions, conference championship game. If you told a Lions fan before the season that they would win more than 10 games, I think they'd also freak out. That they win a playoff game, they'd freak out. To make the conference championship game, win two playoff games, Dan Campbell is one of the best coaches in the NFL. Now, I am angry about that, but he is one of the best coaches in the NFL. Great stuff right there. That's about for my take of the week this week. Now, top five. This week's top five is, mentioned it in the headlines, my top five NBA teams so far throughout the season, coming up on All-Star Weekend, trade deadline, my top five NBA teams. Let me say this right here. Minnesota Timberwolves, number one in the Western Conference. Not on this list. I watch Timberwolves play. I don't see it in them. I don't think that they're going to beat the Warriors if the Warriors are the 8th seed and the Timberwolves are the 1 seed. I don't think if they play the Pelicans, Pelicans are the 8th seed, Timberwolves are the 1 seed. I think that's a close series. I really don't see them as a championship contender because it's still a false. Now, Karl-Anthony Towns is great, but you see the game against the Hornets the other night. They feed Karl-Anthony Towns too much. They lose that game. Rudy Gobert, can he hold up? Can he hold up his health? Whatever it might be. And Nasri is great. But you can't run a team through just three big men. You've got Anthony Edwards. Outside of those four players, really not much for this team. Jay McDaniel's inconsistent. Mike Conley's inconsistent. And the rest of the team is also inconsistent. Now, Chris Finch is a good head coach, but they're not on this team. Not in my top five. Here's my top five NBA teams. Let's hop into it. Number five, James Harden, Tyronn Lue, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and the Los Angeles Clippers, everybody. They've been playing great. Now, James Harden, one of the best trades they've made in years. Hopefully, this can be his permanent home in LA with the Clippers. They've been playing well. Five, the Clippers. Four, my New York Knicks, everybody. Now, I'm not crazy. Like CBS, put them number one, but I'm still happy that my New York Knicks are playing great. We watch them. They're 10-2 since picking up OG Anunoby. They're playing great. Julius Randle, dislocated shoulder. That's tough. But Isaiah Hartenstein is still a great player. Mitchell Robinson is coming back soon. They just signed Taj Gibson to a 10-day contract, which will be his about 10th stint with the New York Knicks. Exciting right there. Jalen Brunson is exciting. OG Anunoby is exciting. That is one of the best trades the Knicks have made in years, one of the best trades in the NBA in years. And the Jalen Brunson free agent signing is maybe the best free agent signing of all time. And that's not crazy to say right there. Pure free agent signing, Jalen Brunson might be the best of all time over KD to the Warriors. That's number four. Number three, Oklahoma City Thunder. Josh Giddey, Chet Holmgren, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, MVP candidate. They're playing great. Thunder, number three. Number two, no other than Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. Now, they lost to the New York Knicks the other night, but New York Knicks are on a hot streak. Denver, I think in the long run, more consistent. They'll get it done. Denver, Nikola Jokic, reigning champions at number two for me. And number one, the most smooth team in the NBA, ran by Joe Mazzulla. Jason Tatum is going to get it done in the playoffs this year. They're going to go for a championship. It's Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and the Boston Celtics. Jrue Holiday pieces it all together. He's been playing great. Kind of the glue, you could say, on any team that he's on. One, Boston Celtics. That's my top five NBA teams. Now, did you know, this week's Did You Know is, it's a great one. Did you know, no Alabama player has ever scored a single point in the Super Bowl. Now, for everybody coming at me right now saying, well, Joe Namath, Ken Stabler, they played in the Super Bowl, they played for Alabama. Quarterbacks, passing touchdowns, don't count as points. So no Alabama player who has ever finished their career at Alabama, I don't care if you transferred, no Alabama player who has ever actually finished their football, college football career at Alabama has ever scored a point in the Super Bowl. No position player, no rushing touchdown, no receiving touchdown, no pick six, no kick return, no defense touchdown. Now, quarterbacks, that's a passing touchdown, that's not a point. Kind of while I think about it, when you're one of the best blue bloods in college football history and sports history, did you know that? Leave down in the comments. That's about for Did You Know this week. Now, one of the things I hate in life is comparisons. When people compare things. Now, I've done things in the show before, comparing NFL players to NBA players, whatever it might be. But when you compare one record up against another, it can irk some people, and it irks me. So I'm not going to do that right here with Lamar Jackson, because he's got a playoff record of 2-4. I could sit here right now, I could say, well, compared to Patrick Mahomes, who has a playoff record of whatever this is, he's made 4 Super Bowls, compared to Tom Brady by the time he was in his 5th NFL season. I'm not going to sit here and do that. I'm going to sit up here today and say, Lamar Jackson is officially the Joel Embiid of the NFL. Exciting, maybe a little bit injury prone, doesn't get it done in the playoffs, and they're an MVP. Now, I love Lamar Jackson. He's a great player, and he has all the tools to make you say, this guy's going to win a Super Bowl, just like Joel Embiid. All the tools for you to say, this guy's going to win a championship. He just dropped 70 points, but he's injury prone. Okay. Lamar Jackson lost 2 seasons of his career because of injuries. 2021 season and last season, which I really thought they had a chance to Super Bowl last season if he didn't get hurt. But this season, Lamar Jackson was healthy. He still struggled a little bit, but he's going to win MVP. That's going to get announced. That's done. He's won MVP. He made it to the playoffs, got his playoff win against Houston Texans, where really had to do a lot to win that game, more than he should have in the first half at least. And then you go into the Chiefs game, and you get into the red zone twice in that fourth quarter. 9-0 boat the first time. Not your fault at all. 2 great plays. One is Zay Flowers taunting. One is Zay Flowers fumble. But the second time, great players make great plays. And this kind of goes back to my comparison thing. I don't want to do that by saying, well, Patrick Mahomes is a great player. He made great plays. Tom Brady is a great player. He made great plays. Just when you think about it, you know Patrick Mahomes is not going to lose that game. You know he's going to win that game. Like it was for Brady. Maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2017 were a better team than New England Patriots. But you know Brady's not going to lose that game. And yes, it was a close game, but Brady's not going to lose that game. Mahomes isn't going to lose this game. Lamar Jackson doesn't have that it factor yet to make you say he's not going to lose this game. Because it can be anything with Lamar Jackson. Some bad mistakes in that fourth quarter. Hate to compare, but you're 2-4 in the playoffs, Lamar Jackson. It's time to get business done because you're 27 years old for a guy whose prime can end very quickly with the way you play. I love Lamar Jackson's play style. I'm just saying this message out here to Ravens fans, to everybody. Lamar Jackson, great season. Show more of it in the playoffs. That's about my spotlight this week. Now, I put out a thing on Squirt Sports Twitter and Instagram last night, and I said, what makes a blue blood? Or what are the best blue bloods in college sports? And I said the best blue blood in college sports is Duke basketball. But I want to sit here today and talk about what I think the true blue bloods are in college football and college basketball. So that ends the debate for what I think is a blue blood and why I don't consider a blue blood a powerhouse. My college football blue bloods, where the term isn't used as much as it is in college basketball. And when I say blue blood, it doesn't have to mean your colors are blue. First team I'm starting off right here, USC, their colors aren't blue. Red and yellow. Trojans, USC, number one. 9 Rose Bowl victories, 7 Heisman Trophy winners, and like 8 national championships. USC is without a doubt a blue blood, in my opinion. Next one, Michigan, 9 national championships, or I don't even know how many national championships I should. I'm the biggest dire Michigan football fan in the world. But what I do know, winningest program of all time, 1,004 wins, Michigan football is elite. Say what you want, Michigan football has the most wins in college football history, makes them a true blue blood. Ohio State, I hate to say it, but they have 7 Heisman Trophy winners. They have a lot of national championships, and they also 7 national championships. And they're up there in the top 5 for most wins of all time. Ohio State, yes, a blue blood. What makes the rivalry so great is when you're going blue blood versus blue blood. That's what Michigan versus Ohio State is. Ohio State, yes, a blue blood. Notre Dame, yes, a blue blood. Now, maybe not this century, but all time, yes, Notre Dame is a blue blood. And Alabama, definitely a blue blood. Now, before Bear Bryant, no. Nick Saban, yes, Nick Saban, definitely built up this program to be a blue blood, carrying off of Bear Bryant's legacy. Both these guys created this program to a blue blood. Nick Saban carried it from borderline blue blood to absolute blue blood. That is today, Alabama, for sure. It's about for my college football blue bloods. Now let's head over to college basketball, where it might get a little bit controversial. You could put a team like Indiana up there, Michigan State up there, UConn up there, Duke up there, Kentucky, all these teams up there. But who are the true blue bloods in college basketball? Here are my picks. UConn is a blue blood in college basketball. Five national championships, they're rolling. Dan Hurley, national championship last year. Yes, a blue blood. UConn, Jim Calhoun built up this program, a blue blood. Duke basketball is without a doubt a blue blood, and Mike Krzyzewski is one of the best coaches in sports history, any sport. Kentucky, a blue blood. John Calipari, Al Rupp, whatever you want to put it, blue blood for Kentucky. Haven't won a national championship in 12 years, but yes, they are a blue blood, and that's wild to think about. They have won a national championship in 12 years. Kansas, Bill Self, built up that program. Roy Williams built up that program, a blue blood. Michigan State, not a blue blood, in my opinion. For Tom Izzo, really nothing. And even under Tom Izzo, only one national championship. Tom Izzo, a little bit struggling right now. Not blue blood, in my opinion. Indiana, a blue blood. Bobby Knight has built up this program to be the legend that is today. Hoosiers, all that. Mike Woodson, hopefully he can land on his feet right here in Indiana, get some things going. A blue blood. UCLA, John Wooden, goes to the Mike Krzyzewski thing. One of the greatest coaches in sports history. Yes, John Wooden really establishes the factor for what it means to be a champion. John Wooden does that right there. In North Carolina, blue blood. Dean Dome, Roy Williams Court. That's the legacy right there for North Carolina. They have the Dean Dome, and they have Roy Williams Court, named after their two most legendary head coaches for it does right there. North Carolina, without a doubt, a blue blood. And it goes to the same thing as Michigan and Ohio State. What makes a blue blood rivalry is Duke and North Carolina, both being blue bloods, playing this Saturday in Chapel Hill. I'll be at that game. My pick is Duke over number 3 North Carolina. Leave your pick in the comments. Leave your thoughts on who are the blue bloods in college sports in the comments. Now, at the buzzer, before we wrap up this week's episode, I want to do a little at the buzzer right here. This will kind of be a major one when you think about it. LeBron James needs to move on from the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Los Angeles Lakers need to move on from LeBron James. Bite the bullet and trade LeBron James before it's too late, because the way this season has gone has been the same way the past three seasons have gone in LA. LeBron's an option after this season, and Bronny's probably coming into the NBA. LeBron's going to want to leave. He sees a great market, say New York. They're playing great. The Knicks. Nets. Well, Nets can maybe use somebody. It's also in Brooklyn. Okay. What about maybe goes over to Cleveland, goes back there? What if he goes over to Miami? He can go anywhere with his options, LeBron James. He's not going to want to keep on playing for someone like Darvin Ham. And I like Darvin Ham. I interviewed him. Great interview he gave me. I just don't know if he's the head coach of this team tomorrow morning. I could wake up tomorrow, see Darvin Ham gets fired, and I wouldn't be stunned, because that's the way they're playing. That's the way his team is gone. You can't just win with Anthony Davis and role players anymore. Are we even considering Anthony Davis a super max superstar anymore? I don't know. LeBron James, for the Lakers, do you really want to be left high and dry by LeBron James, or do you want to move on, maybe trade him? And that's the LeBron James side of things. How does that work? Getting trade in season would be something monumental for LeBron James. But the New York Knicks, as a Knicks fan, they're playing great. Cleveland Cavaliers, go back there. Maybe he goes over to Miami Heat. Maybe he goes somewhere else to be a contender for 1 year, maybe a little rental, and then he can move on, in my opinion. That's just my thoughts right there. With LeBron James, it's not going to work out in LA. It's not going to be the same thing every year. They miss out on their chance on Harden. They miss out on their chance of all these guys, and that's not going to work out. They had the championship. He accomplished his goal in LA. You used to always think about, well, LeBron loves playing on that Lakers uniform. Does it really mean that to him anymore? After what they've gone through? After what he's played through these past three seasons? Having to carry almost everybody? Making a role player like Austin Reaves look amazing. Making Anthony Davis look like an absolute superstar, which he was in New Orleans, and now he's not? Just a little bit tough right there. LeBron James needs to move on from the Los Angeles Lakers, and Lakers need to bite the bullet, get over themselves, and move on from LeBron James. That's about it for my At The Buzzer this week. Now, the best for last question of the day. This week's question is, who is the best tennis player in the world? Is it Carlos Alcaraz, who just lost Australian Open quarterfinals, but is still so exciting to watch? Is it Novak Djokovic, the GOAT of tennis? Is it Jannik Sinner, who just won his first Grand Slam, Australian Open, is only 22 years old? Or maybe an oddball right here, maybe it's Rafael Nadal, who didn't get to play an Australian Open, but by me, it's here, the GOAT of tennis, will be at Roland Garros. Maybe he's great right there. King of clay, most dominant athlete of all time when not clay, Rafael Nadal. So, who is the best tennis player in the world? Answer that question today in the comments after the first Australian Open of the year, Grand Slam of the year, is done with. That's part of question day. That's part of Squared Sports and Lane Frank, episode 155. Thank you for tuning in. Follow Squared Sports on Instagram, at Squared Sports. Follow Squared Sports on Twitter, at Squared Sport. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review for the best sports content in the world. Be back next week, episode 156. Stay tuned.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.